is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, Dr. Dish Basketball is ringing in the new year with big savings. This January, buy one Dr. Dish, get one free, or unlock exclusive single-unit discounts during their 2024 Super Sale. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Those are some great deals, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Mark Christner, women's basketball coach at Calvin University, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel, and we are jumping out tonight to talk NBA. We've got some unfortunate injuries that have occurred in the league here. We've got some trade results, preliminary, coming out of New York that seems like the Anunoby trade that at least I categorized as meh. Maybe it might turn out to be something different. And then we've got some teams that are all kind of grouped together, east, west. So we're going to bounce around, go a bunch of different directions. But let's start with the injuries, Jay.
I think we have to start with the most I guess we'll call it devastating in basketball, although it didn't seem to have an impact on the game tonight. Ja Morant out for the year because of a torn labrum. He just came back. Your wins status with the Memphis Grizzlies took a big hit.
Yeah, that's not a good one.
They did win tonight, Mike.
That's got a good chance, though, of being the worst pick, right? I think it's probably got a chance of being the most diametrically opposed to the pick versus what the actual result is. That'll be interesting to see when we get to the end of the year.
I've got it right here. Right now, the teams, the smallest ones. Oh, I had it pulled up. Hold on. It's loading for a second here. The teams that are the lowest is you have the Pacers lost too, and the Hawks wins. So right now you have the three lowest, Mike. Like, and I have Magic losses as well. So I'm tied with one of your lowest. But you have the Memphis wins is the lowest total at 14, tied with the Hawks wins, which also is 14. And then you have the Pacers loss and I have the Magic loss. So right now I'm up by 18 on you, Mike, just so you know.
Got it. So, well, we'll see what happens. That'll be an interesting, again, thing to talk about as we get closer to the end of the season. So the Morant injury, here's how I look at it. Obviously terrible for Ja Morant, terrible for the Grizzlies contending for this season. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I do believe that the Grizzlies have their own first round pick this year, because I know they have some picks from other places too, but I believe they have their own pick in this upcoming draft. So
I don't know how they wouldn't have it. What trade have they made?
I guess the only thing would have been the Marcus Smart trade, but I believe they shipped out picks that did not
belong. Did you see what happened with Marcus Smart tonight, Mike?
Yeah. I saw that.
He made a three.
He held it up.
He made a three, dislocated his finger when he was celebrating. Although I don't even know, like, because he did this. Is that how it dislocated?
I think it happened
on the shot,
right in the immediacy before that. Yeah, maybe as part of the shot, and then he didn't really realize it was
dislocated until he held it up and saw
it. Have you ever dislocated? Kind of have you ever dislocated your finger in the middle of playing, Mike?
I have not.
So I Will was like 1.5, and I was still playing in a regular league, a Thursday night league, and I literally my right ring finger literally was like at the knuckle, pointing straight up, and I was like, "Oh, that's weird." Like I did at play doing it playing, and I popped it back in, and then I kept playing. Like I was like I was unfazed, Mike. I think if I did it, it now, I wouldn't be unfazed anymore. I don't know.
Well, let me put it this way: you wouldn't recover as quickly. You might have been able to pop it right back in at this point in your life,
yeah.
But you certainly would be feeling it far more than you might have in that time. But yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at the play. I'm looking at the play right now. And of course, right as I'm saying it, it's spinning.
It's buffering.
But yeah, there's no contact. I have no idea what happened. There's no contact. And then he just holds his hand up to signal for three. And then he goes to the bench and there's all kinds of attention. It has to be a non-contact injury on the shot. Yeah, he looks at it. Everybody's celebrating. I don't know. That's a weird play. So anyway, Marcus Smart. Dislocated finger.
Good job, buddy.
The least of Memphis's injury problems right there. So I believe they have their own first round pick. I believe when they traded those two first rounders for Smart in the Porzingis deal, that they were trading picks that belonged to
other teams.
Other teams. So I guess. What I'm trying
You're saying they're not as bad of luck as the Carolina Panthers of the NFL.
correct. You are not finishing worst in your league and then not having your own.
And your owner's not throwing a drink on someone else. Or
no. If you're Memphis, what you have to hope is that this was kind of a lost season anyway. And yeah, they had clearly started to play better when Ja was back. But the odds of them creeping their way back up into any kind of meaningful playoff experience this year, I'd say was pretty slim. And so maybe you just look at it as it's a lost year and now you climb up and look, they're not going to get down to the dregs of the Pistons and the Hornets and the Wizards. They're not getting down to that level, but you're looking at potentially they could be somewhere in that 5-6. And look, with the lottery, who knows? Maybe you jump up and you can get a top 5 pick if you're Memphis. And now suddenly, certainly they have not been planning on one of their own first round picks turning into a top 5 pick. That's not been the trajectory of this team. They looked and felt, I'm sure, much more like a team that was on the rise and was going to start contending for an NBA title before they were contending for a number one pick. But this could be one of those situations where a one-year unintentional tank job ends up netting you a guy who becomes a part of the core fabric of your team. And maybe that guy ends up being somebody who makes a difference and pushes them over the top. Now, I don't know, again, if the Desmond Bane, Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr. trio is an NBA championship winning trio. I would tend to think it's not. But you add a top 5 pick, and I know that all the scuttle is that this year's draft isn't very good. And yet, at the same time, we all know that there's always guys in every draft. And maybe they're not guys that you expect, and maybe they're not picked number one overall, but there's always good players available in drafts. Oh my God. So if Memphis gets lucky and maybe moves up and gets a guy, now suddenly you've improved your roster. And I think that that's kind of how, if you're Memphis, you got to look at the silver lining of it. And not that anybody wants Ja to get hurt. As we said last week, he's one of the most exciting players in the league. And coming off the suspension and all that stuff, you hope it's behind him. But I think if you're Memphis, you have to look at the silver lining and say, hey, maybe we end up moving up in the draft and getting another guy that can be a part of what we're trying to build.
Yeah, Mike, I have to say, when you say there's guys in every draft, I went to the Cavs game on Wednesday night last week, Mike. Remember I told you that before the pod we recorded last week? And I saw Anthony Bennett jersey, and I almost fell out of my chair. So someone was wearing an Anthony Bennett jersey, Mike. Your opinion on someone wearing an Anthony Bennett Jr. jersey? number 15.
That's a questionable move. It's a questionable move. I think maybe in your unbridled excitement when Anthony Bennett was drafted by the Cavs, maybe you went out and you unfortunately purchased an Anthony Bennett jersey.
But maybe they got it for a dollar at Goodwill or something, Mike.
Maybe that's possible too. That is possible too, that if you're out thrifting, you might be able to find a plethora of Anthony Bennett jerseys. But I think I would leave that one in the closet. I'm not sure that would be my first choice of jersey I would pull out as I was heading to a Cavs game. Maybe if I was heading to a Bennett family reunion, I might wear it. But otherwise,
I have to say, I finally cleaned out some of my old jerseys, Mike. I had to dispose of a Kel Winslow Jr. jersey that I had. I had it because I used to play basketball with him at the Strongs of Rec. Did you know he used to play basketball at the Strongs of Rec, Mike? Did you know that?
I did not know that. Was he a good basketball player?
Yeah, he was playing basketball when he was supposedly injured for the Browns, just so you know.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Responsible. He was really actually, he was, Mike, if he would have put his efforts towards basketball, I think he probably could have made it. I mean, he was really, really good. There was a hot second of a time that I was like on a text chain with him. So I don't want to be associated with Kel Winslow, but there was a hot second of a time that I was on a text chain with him because we had Saturday morning basketball. That's when Strongsville's Saturday morning basketball was good still. Like, anyways, so long story short, I think Memphis definitely has to think about where they go from here. Obviously, I don't know how long is Jaren Jackson out. Is he out for a while? Is he out for a good amount of time? Or because like I know he didn't play tonight.
Well, I could tell you. Let me look right here because I have the Grizzlies. Let me see if I can pull up where we're at. Team stats. I don't know if he's on the. I don't know if he's on the injured list or how long he's out.
I just know he didn't play tonight. So. It might be day to day, and it's ultimately.
Yeah.
Listen, Memphis was going nowhere. Ja came back, and they seemingly were putting it together, and they were making a run. But now, I just don't see without Ja how they hold it together, and which bummer for Chris Vernon and the Memphis fans, but there's always next year. It's something we've been living with for a long, long time as a Cleveland Browns fan. So,
Jaren Jackson out with a knee will not play in Tuesday's game against the Mavericks. That's all it says. So
knee soreness doesn't sound like it's anything super.
So it doesn't sound like it. Yeah, it doesn't sound like anything serious. Okay. Just that he is out for tonight.
By the way, Mike, I think the beard is staying until the Browns are out of the playoffs. So are you willing to make that pact with me? You'll grow your beard until the Browns are out of the playoffs. The Joe Flacco beard.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So are you willing to make that pact with me, or can you not handle it if it goes too crazy?
No, the beard will stay. The beard can stay. Okay. I think it's going to stay for a little while. I'm good with the beard right now.
Okay.
We're going to do it.
I'm going to keep it. I got several comments today at school or yesterday at school. What's with the beard? And I said, pure laziness. That's what it is. It's pure laziness.
Positive comments or negative?
They're like, no.
I usually get positive. People always like the beard whenever I have it.
Well, no, everybody I think likes people it. Are just not used to me having it grown this long. Because normally I'm normally a you know, twice a week kind of guy, and I've not done anything I don't think I've done anything since Christmas Day other than my neck. And I got a comment like, what's going on with this? And I said, it's pure laziness. I just didn't do anything with it. And I mean, that's the honest truth. It's a pure laziness, but now
that's usually how mine starts. Yeah.
So we'll see. And Molly's apathetic toward it either way. So, it's not like she's like a dead set against it. She used to be dead set.
Margaret protested a little bit. Yeah. Margaret protested a little at the beginning. And then I think after it grows in a little bit, then it becomes apathetic. At first it's a no. And then when it gets to about this length, I think she's going to live with it.
So, yeah, all right. Well, this one came from the Hoop Heads podcast. Took for our beard taste.
Hey, a little beard talk popped up, man. Hey, that could be a new podcast. Beard talk.
Beard talk. We could talk about the beard. That picture.
That's right.
LeBron dunking.
That's it.
That was a good picture, wasn't it?
That was funny.
That was a good one.
That was funny of Harden starting staring at LeBron. If you haven't seen it, look it up.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, so moving on to the next thing to talk about. The other injury that happened yesterday, which looked, I thought it was way worse than it ended up being. I think you and I were texting last night. Tyrese Halliburton gets hurt in the middle of the game. Now they're playing the Bucks, right? Was that accurate? They're playing the Bucks, or they playing?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like they played the Bucks like 14 times already this season.
Well, they played them in the in-season tournament, right? That was.
Yep.
So, he looked like he had seriously hurt his hamstring, but it ended up being just a grade one strain. So they said he's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Now it could linger. Hamstrings are not fun, Mike. I don't know.
Yeah, hamstrings are bad.
Have you had a hamstring injury?
I have.
Okay.
I mean, not a hamstring. I mean, okay. I guess when you're old, I don't really consider it an injury anymore, but I actually hurt my hamstring. I was kicking a soccer ball around in the gym, in my gym class, like a ball came flying towards me and I tried to kick it like as hard as I could.
Surprised you do soccer, Mike.
And hey, we do soccer. We do a lot of soccer. And I took a kick and the hammy got pulled. And yeah, it takes a long time for that thing. And I'm not trying to play NBA basketball at the time. I'm just trying to walk around and get on an elliptical machine.
It's kind of how I threw my back out playing kickball with my kids, Mike. As opposed to actually playing football 3 days earlier and not getting hurt at all. Yeah. So there you go.
It's the way life works, man.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
So yeah, I've had the hamstring injury, and yeah, when you saw that Halliburton fall, it definitely looked like it could have been. I thought initially maybe, man, that could be a torn hamstring the way he went down.
Him, Kevin, you carried off. It was kind of like Paul Pierce's wheelchair incident. Yeah. And... But listen,
it's a little dramatic, but
listen, hey, he's not a guy that's been injury prone in his career, right? Like he's not really had anything. So that's what made me think it was pretty serious because the way that he reacted. And obviously Indiana needs him.
Not good for the Pacers.
Not good for the Pacers. And they're not as much of a free fall as the Lakers, even though the Lakers won in the Clippers since the in-season tournament, but they've definitely not done as well. Since the in-season
tournament. Well, they lost four in a row coming out of the tournament, and then I believe they won four in a row before losing a game, and then they came back and won the game yesterday when Halliburton was injured. So they're actually 7-3 in their last 10, but they had lost four in a row coming out of the in-season tournament, and then I think had a four-game winning streak, and then they're in the log jam, Mike.
They're in the log jam of the middle of the Eastern Conference. We've got the Knicks at 22-15, Miami, who just signed Spoelstra to a multi-year extension. I don't know. Did you see details on that, Mike? I just saw a multi-year.
Yeah, did you see it?
I didn't
see it. Okay, so the details are, okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Eight years. How much money
is
that?
Eight years on top, like on years on. Was this contract up at the end of this year, or was it 8 years on top
of it? It says 8 year extension. So
How much money?
You tell me. How much do you think? 8 years. How much money did he get?
I mean, he's probably more than 10 mil a year, I would guess. I mean, I don't know what the NBA
Come on,
coach
man, just throw
75 mil. 8 years, 75 million.
8 years, 120 million.
Holy Jesus Christ!
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
8 years, 120 million. I mean, the most committed money in North American coaching history is what it says.
I mean,
according to Woj.
This goes back to Mike. Like, I mean, he's gonna 8 years on top of what he has, and I can't imagine his contract was up at the end of this year. So you'd have to imagine, like, he's like the lone wolf other than Popovich, where he's just going to stay in a spot for a long, 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 long time, right? I mean, at this point.
Well, 8 years is a pretty long time. Hard to believe that they're going to get rid of him anytime soon. And I think, look, the consensus, whenever we talk about the best coaches, whenever anybody in the media talks about the best coaches, inevitably, Spoelstra is the top guy, or he's definitely in the top three in any given year. And look, there are very few guys I think that are worth paying or making them the top paid coach in the NBA, there are probably 3, 4, 5 guys maybe that you could say those guys are huge, huge difference makers. And clearly Spoelstra is one of those guys that makes a difference. He's worth paying a premium for to have him coaching your NBA team. And he's proven that time and time again. He's proven it with teams that don't have a tremendous amount of talent that he's able to get the most out of. He's proven it with teams that have been championship caliber teams. He's proven it with superstars. He's proven it on teams without superstars. Basically, in every team type of situation that you could put a coach in, Eric Spoelstra has excelled in that situation. And so, like I said, I think he's one of the few coaches in the league that you'd probably be willing to pay a premium for because he's actually a value add for your team. Whereas I think most coaches probably skew closer to the mean, closer to the average coach. Whereas I think Spoelstra is one of those outliers that's worth paying for.
Yep. So anyways, as I was saying, do you know how long he's been in Miami, Mike? Do you know the answer to this question?
I don't off the top of my head.
Bleacher Report just tweeted this, so here we go. Eric Spoelstra started out as a video coordinator with the Miami Heat in 1995.
So he's same year I started teaching, buddy.
29 years in Miami. 725 wins, 109 playoff wins, which is fifth all time, 3-time champion, obviously, 7 East titles and NBA Finals appearance. There you go. He's been there.
He's worth it. He's worth it. I mean, any franchise would be happy to have Eric Spoelstra as their coach. And look, he's been there 29 years, but he's still only 53 years old, which is not old by coaching standards by any means.
Look at Pop. He signed a 5-year extension. Pop signed a 5-year extension at 75. There you go.
That's it. So it is what it is. Yep. So kudos to Spoelstra and to the Heat.
Yeah.
Good decision. Good decision by a Heat franchise.
All right. So as I was saying, the logjam in the East. So we have New York Knicks at 22-15, the Miami Heat at 21-15, Pacers at 21-15. I have to imagine they're going to go down a little bit now. I mean, Halliburton is so key to them. Okay. The Cavs are 21-15. Now, I would have said that about the Cavs not having Garland or Mobley. And we're going to talk about the Cavs in a minute here. And then the Orlando Magic's kind of in their last 10, they're 5-5.
They're the team that's fallen off. They're the team that's fallen off. And I think if you look at those tops, whatever, look at the top eight. I think the top eight are probably going to be the top eight, but I would anticipate that Indiana and Orlando are your 7-8 and the Cavs right now, again, they have the exact same record as the Heat and the Pacers. So it's not like they're in the seventh spot because of whatever tiebreakers they're putting together to make this particular standings on this day. But
all right,
the Cavs are going to be the top six.
Yeah. So Mike, let's go Cavs now. My dad and I had this very long conversation while we were at the Cavs game. And then on Sunday, when I went over to my dad's to watch the Browns game, but we spent more time watching the Cavs game than we did the Browns game, I think, because obviously the Browns game didn't really mean anything. And yeah, anyways, so we're watching the Cavs game and my dad and I had this long conversation and the Cavs are better with one of the two guards and one of the two bigs, right? Like having Garland or Mitchell and having Allen or Mobley. I mean, Allen's his numbers the last month or the last.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. He's been phenomenal. Like, he's been all-star level play. 100%. For sure.
100%. When we went to the game on Wednesday, he would have had a 20-20 game if he had to play in the fourth quarter. Okay. And he's just dominating. He's dominating because the spacing. And I think this goes back to the whole, like, we thought Mobley was going to spread the floor more and cause and give Allen more of these lanes. Well, now you see that they've had to adjust on the fly. And it's like, are the Cavs better off? And like, I want to be clear here. I think Mobley is definitely the better defender than Jaren Allen, although that block he had on Wemby was fantastic. But they also almost choked that game away. But at the same time, it's like, what do the Cavs do from here? Because they're clearly better when only one of them's on the floor. They're clearly better when either one of Mitchell or Garland's on the floor, because when Mitchell's been out or when Garland's been out, they've had decent records. But when they've been playing together, they're not playing as well. Like, I just don't know what they do. And and here's the other thing, like, what's going to happen when they do come back? Okay. And I guess Garland's supposedly close to coming back. Okay. What do we do about the minutes at the guard position? I'm not trying to say like these guys that Garland shouldn't play as much, but like when you look at Craig Porter Jr. and you look at specifically, I'm thinking Sam Merrill, like we got to make sure we keep him in the rotation because he just creates so much chaos with his shooting. Like, and he's been so, so good. Like, I can't see them wanting to cut his minutes. Whose minutes are going to get cut? And I just don't know. We're in a situation where we have too many guards, not enough. We don't have a guy to play small forward or the four. That's the main issue. And like, I saw someone making the argument, well, maybe you could put Okoro at the four. I'm like, come on now. Wait a second. You can't put Okoro at the four. What are you talking about? Like, I mean, maybe in a small ball lineup against a team that's also in a small ball lineup, but if you have him at the four, they're going to dominate him. So I don't know what the Cavs do about the rotation. I don't know. But I have to give it to them. They've adjusted and they've been playing really, really well. Lots of threes. Lots of threes, Mike. And Gorgui Jang looks way better. I'm just messing. George Niang looks way better.
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang. He looks way better right now with this offensive set than he was looking earlier this year. I just don't know what the Cavs do, Mike. Your opinion on what the Cavs should do, will continue to do, what you think is going to happen.
Man, I mean, there's a million different ways you can take this, right? When you talk about what should they do versus what will they do versus what are they doing, there's a lot of different ways that you can take it. I think you make a very good point, and it's one that we've touched on multiple times. It feels like this roster is redundant, and it feels like Garland and Mitchell don't complement each other, not in the sense that they can't play together, but just they don't amplify one another in any meaningful way. And in a lot of ways, they detract from what each of those guys brings to the table just as an individual without the other one. And then I think when you talk about Mobley and Jared Allen, you're talking about two guys who are not exactly similar players, but they inhabit similar spaces on both ends of the floor. And they each have slightly different things that they do better within the confines of that role, but it feels like they both slot into the same role. A screening big, a big you can throw lobs to, bigs who run the floor, guys who have an ability to pass. They both sort of fit into that niche, but neither one of them can shoot the ball from the outside and spread the floor. So you're 100% right that the way that the Cavs have been playing now, I think it's a better style of basketball, but you're also doing it with less talent on the floor when you don't have Garland and Mobley. And sometimes talent trumps a better system or a better whatever. It might be a better fit right now, but ultimately the team's ceiling obviously isn't as high without Garland and Mobley in the lineup. So the question becomes, what do you do? And is there a way to trade one or two of those four guys? It seems like if you were going to make a trade, right, you'd probably trade Mitchell, because although there really haven't been any signs of it, when you watch Donovan Mitchell interact with his teammates and with this team, you don't really see any signs of the fact that Donovan Mitchell wants out of Cleveland. And I know he hasn't publicly stated that. I know he also hasn't publicly stated that he wants to sign an extension or that he wants to come back, which I wouldn't expect him to say either one of those things. But just by his actions and his interactions with his teammates, there's nothing that would lead you to believe that this guy is sitting by the phone all day waiting for a call to come in so that he could be traded. I don't see him behaving in that particular way. But I think of the two, Garland or Mitchell, I think you'd probably be more likely to trade Donovan Mitchell. And then the question becomes, again, what can you get for him that better fits around what you have? And then the Cavs aren't trading Evan Mobley. So that means, are you going to trade Jared Allen? And look, there's always the argument made out there in the podcast world, in the media world, that, hey, why do you want to pay a center? And Jared Allen's making what, like $20 million a year, somewhere right in that vicinity, 20, 25, somewhere in that range. And hey, you can just find a center for $6 million on the scrap heap. And I would counter that by saying Jared Allen is much better than a guy you can find for $6 million on the scrap heap. And yet, if you're going to trade him, what do you have to get back in order to make it equal value? And I think that's where the Cavs are kind of, I don't want to say stuck, but I think if you're trading Donovan Mitchell or you're trading Jared Allen, I'm not sure that you're going to get back players who are of the same talent level. Maybe they're a slightly better fit for the roster, but they're not going to be as talented as those two guys. And so that becomes the question, right? Are you better off taking a player who's 80% as talented as one of those two guys or both of those two guys who are a better fit? Or would you rather bet on the high-end talent and trying to figure it out, whether that's with JB Bickerstaff and the current coaching staff, or maybe they decide they're going to go in another direction at some point this season, at the end of the season, next season, who knows? But it's going to be very hard, I feel like, to get value for those guys and replace them with equal talents. I think you'd be trading out more talented players. The other teams would be getting the best player in any of those trades when you're talking about Jared Allen or Donovan Mitchell. So I'm not saying I wouldn't do it, because maybe the fit that you could find makes more sense. Maybe that opens up more opportunities for Darius Garland. Maybe he becomes a guy who averages 24 and 10. Maybe Mobley suddenly becomes a guy that, if you're giving him more touches and giving him more opportunities as a central part of your offense, as opposed to just a guy catching lobs and running fast break, you know, running down on the fast break, maybe he gets more involved in being able to be the facilitator in the half court and gets more chances to isolate and gets more chances to be the hub of the offense. So I don't know what the right answer is, but I do agree with your basic premise that I just don't think this roster, those four guys, don't complement and make each other better. They don't amplify each other. And that's the challenge. And I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're going to stand pat through this season, because this group's only had one opportunity in the playoffs. And I think to break it up before you at least give them a second opportunity, I just don't see this team doing it. And then I think in the offseason, everything will be on the table. That's the way I look at it.
Yep. I agree. We'll have to see what happens. What's nice is we're currently in like a stretch of games against bad teams. I know it's going to rear its ugly head soon. But, you know, we've taken care of business the last three. We should theoretically beat Brooklyn, although it's a weird game because they're playing in Paris on Thursday. Okay. It's a weird game. It's kind of fun that they are there, but it's just a weird game, 2 o'clock on Thursday. And then I don't know, when's our next game after that? We play on Thursday. We play on Monday. We play against the Bulls. So you'd like to think that they're going to walk away with, you know, both those games, right? You would like to think that, right?
Yep. And then three out of the next five after that are against the Bucks, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, I'm not overly. The Bucks don't scare me, Mike. I just don't. Something's not right with them, right? You agree? I know, like, there was the whole Giannis quote this week about them. There's definitely something off.
I mean, I think one, defensively, they haven't been great. but yet they've been trending in the right direction. And they had it going there for a little while, and then they've kind of hit another skid. Giannis has been unbelievable. I know the all the buzz has been for Jokic and Embiid for MVP, and rightfully so. But Giannis has just had some monstrous games in the last 10 to 15 that Milwaukee has played. And I don't know if scares me is the right way to phrase it, but I look at if you're going to play three games against the Bucks, I'm hoping to get one, I guess. Two of them are away, one's home. Hopefully you can sneak one of those out. And I think the Cavs, because of the injuries and kind of where they're at, I think you can get to four. You're certainly not getting above the four seed, but I think you're going to compete with the Knicks and with Miami going forward for the four seed.
Yeah, so speaking of the Knicks, I get this OG stuff. Like, it looks pretty good so far, but are you really a firm believer that this is like a long term a good move for them, or do you just think it's a flash in the pan?
I still think it's meh. I mean, I still think that when I look at it, and I know Ananobi's been good. I mean, I know he's been good since he's gotten there, and they're 5-0 since he arrived, and he's fit in pretty well with the fact that you've got Brunson who's got the ball in his hands all the time, and so that opens up opportunities for Ananobi to spot up and hit threes. And obviously he's a defender who can defend all the different guys around the league, sort of those big wings that tend to be on teams that win championships, right? You got Tatum and Brown, you got Kawhi, you got Giannis, you got guys like that this guy can defend. And so I think from that standpoint, you have to think that it's a good fit. I feel like, I don't know. To me, look, I like OG Anunoby. I think he's fine. I'm just not sure that he's this magic elixir that suddenly has completely transformed the New York Knicks to where all of a sudden now they're going to be this juggernaut. I don't see Anunoby as being, look, this almost goes to the question or the thing that we just talked about with the Cavs, right? Where Anunoby, look, I'm not saying that Quickly or Barrett are better talents than Anunoby, but clearly on this team, Ananobi's a better fit what he does than what RJ Barrett does. In a vacuum, RJ Barrett probably has more skills on the offensive end than Ananobi, but the Knicks didn't need those skills because they have other guys that in Randall and Brunson that are better than RJ Barrett at those skills. And so maybe you just say, hey, we need Ananobi. You can just sit outside the 3-point line, knock down threes, and maybe occasionally attack a closeout and take one or two dribbles and keep the ball moving. And on the other end, he's just a really good defender. So I think that when you start talking about the Knicks, they're going to be right about they're right in that 4-6 range. I think it's going to come down to, again, Miami, the Cavs, and the Knicks battling out for those, you know, for those five, trying to get to that four spot. That's how I see it as the season goes along.
All right. So
the Knicks have beat Washington and Portland in their last two, and they beat the Bulls as one of those. Now they did win in Philly, but if I'm not mistaken, Embiid didn't play in that game, and they beat the Timberwolves. So maybe you can say they have one really good win out of their last five. Yeah. So, but again, just like we talked about with the Cavs, you got to win games on your schedule that you're supposed to win. So
it's fair. Like, you got to take care of business against the crap teams. Pretty sure we've said that a few times, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've said it. We've said it a lot. We've said it a lot, especially when it doesn't happen. When it doesn't happen, that gets, that gets even more frustrating. Yeah. So,
all right.
I don't know. And I think RJ Barrett and Quickly are going to be good players for, they both got 21 points tonight as Toronto's playing the Lakers as we speak. So, and Toronto's been playing better.
For sure. Toronto's definitely playing better. Quickly's been playing really, really well for them. What remains to be seen if they can continue to do so. Right. But
yeah,
I'm not believers. I'm still not a believer in that team, but
I still think it's a mad trade. I don't think it made New York suddenly into a title contender. And I don't think that it change the course of the Raptors franchise in any way. I don't think Barrett or Quickly are going to be guys that, look, they could be starters on a good NBA team, but I don't think they're difference makers for your franchise. So
you don't think it's
that's
just,
why I still rated a meh.
You don't think it's magically going to happen, Mike?
I don't think it's magically going to happen.
Okay.
However, Magic Mind is one of our latest podcast sponsors, and Jason and I have received our shipment of Magic Mind. And for those of you who don't know what Magic Mind is, it's a little elixir that you can take that will help you to increase your focus and concentration. As you guys know, we often record this
at 12:27 a.m. 12:27 a.m. as it currently is.
As we speak. And so Jason and I made a commitment to try some Magic Mind. And what I found and what Jason has found is that as we've taken this, we feel like we are much better able to concentrate. Hopefully we're not stumbling around in our words and we're much more clear in our NBA analysis. But this has been great. And so if you are a person that works hard, somebody that needs to be able to focus, need to be able to concentrate in your job, in your life, Magic Mind is something that can really help you. And this month, Magic Mind is having a special offer for listeners of the Hoopheads podcast. And so if you are interested in checking out Magic Mind and being more productive, being more focused, being able to concentrate better, Jason, I would highly recommend you give Magic Mind a try. And you can find the deal for Magic Mind. You get 1 month for free when you subscribe for 3 months. And you can go to magicmind.com/JAN for January, Hoopheads. And then you can use our special code, Hoopheads20. So that's magicmind.com/JAN, Hoopheads. And then use the code Hoopheads20, and you can join Jason and I in being more focused and being better able to concentrate, especially here late at night as we create the podcast. Especially, so check out Magic Mind, all of our Hoopheads out there.
It's definitely late at night, and this was a very long day, and the Magic Mind's definitely helped me to stay focused and on task. I don't know if you know this about me, Hoopheads. I am somewhat of an off-task person sometimes. So Magic Mind.
Jason, come on, man. Magic Mind, if you can get Jason focused, if you've gotten Jason focused, you can get anybody focused. So
listen, for years and years, I was convinced that I had some sort of ADD or ADHD. I've never been fully diagnosed, but for whatever reason, ever since I started taking Magic Mind, I've been hyper-focused at night, which is amazing because normally I'm got like 27 screens up and I'm watching like 15 different things at the same time. So I definitely recommend checking it out, and you can use our promo code Hoopheads20 when you go to the website.
MagicMind.com/JAN Hoopheads.
There you go.
NBA's Orlando Magic. What do we have to say about the Orlando Magic?
They're kind of falling off.
Fultz is back.
Fultz is back, but they're falling off, Mike. What do you think?
Yeah, they're falling off. I think they're going to end up finishing. They're going to end up in the 7 or 8 spot, I would have to guess. I think they're probably better than Indiana. If I had to prognosticate, I think they probably finished 7th if I was looking at it right now. But yeah, I don't think they're going to finish in the top 6. I think they are probably a year and a shooter away from cracking that top 6. And they're going to get there. I think they're going to get there. Wagner and Banchero are both continuing to progress and get better. Every time I see Banchero,
I feel
like...
You said a year and a shooter away?
Yes, a year and a shooter away.
Okay, I get that. I Banchero was definitely a hit, though, right? Like, getting him...
He's a hit, yeah, for sure.
He's a hit.
Now, here's the question. This is an interesting question.
Okay, I'm listening.
So that draft, right, it's between 3 guys, right?
Yeah.
Banchero, now in his second year. Chet, now in his first year, essentially. And then Jabari. So to this point, I would say Jabari has clearly been the third best of those three. Not that he's been bad, but he hasn't been at the level of those other two guys. And clearly Chet got placed into the best situation, best team, playing next to Shea, first team All-NBA guy, just the team that they've built and the infrastructure that the Thunder have. But every time I watch Banchero, I feel like when he was at Duke, I kind of felt like he was a little bit, I don't know if pudgy is the right word, but he just didn't look ripped. He didn't look like a guy who was going to be an explosive athlete. He looked more like a guy who was just kind of bulky and maybe a so-so athlete.
Are you saying that him and Zion have switched spots, Mike?
Well, I mean, look, I guess what I'm saying is it feels like Banchero to me. Every time I see him, I feel like he's transformed his body. Like he looks bigger and more athletic and he just looks more explosive every time I see him. And I think a guy is going to be, he's going to be really, really good. And so the question is Chet or Banchero, if you had to redo it right now, how many teams do you think would take Chet? How many teams do you think would take Banchero? Which one of those two guys do you think most franchises would take first?
I'm going to take the surefire bet. I think I'm going to take Paolo just because I'm concerned about Chet's injury, his injury potential. Mike, I feel like I have to take Paolo, right? I just think that he's...
I think it's close. I mean, I think it's really close. I think it's really close. I think with Banchero, I think you're probably going to get a guy who's probably going to be... He's probably going to score more than Chet. I think he's probably a better playmaker than Chet. And yet at the same time, the way Chet shoots threes and spreads the floor as a center... And then what Chet does defensively, blocking shots around the rim. And the thing I like about both of these guys is that neither one of them is afraid of anybody. Both of them have walked into the league, Banchero last year and Chet this year. And they both are just supremely confident, always look like they're in control, even when things aren't going perfectly for them, and just seem like they have it. Now that doesn't mean that they have the it of being a top five guy. Hey, give me the ball and I can take my team to an NBA championship. I'm not sure that either one of those guys ever gets to that level. I guess I feel like Paolo has a slightly higher upside because I do think that I don't know if he's ever a top five player, but I could see him being a top 10 guy in the league. Whereas I feel like Chet, I just don't know if he's ever going to be a go-to guy.
Yeah.
With his physique. Like I could see Chet being a guy who eventually gets to where he's averaging 24, 12 and 4, which is going to be a guy that is going to be knocking on the door for first team all NBA. I could see him maybe getting to that level, but I still don't see him as being the number one offensive option on a championship team. Whereas if I stare really, really hard, I could maybe see that for Paolo. I don't think he gets there either, but I don't see it at all for Chet. I could, if I really squint, I could maybe see it for Paolo. So I think I'd take Banchero. But it's close. It's close. I bet if you pulled 30 GMs,
that's saying a lot. We're both picking a Duke guy, by the way. That's saying a lot.
That is true.
That's saying a lot.
That is, I had a Duke basketball conversation last night surrounding Michigan football.
Oh God, can we not? I was hoping we weren't going to bring this up, Mike. No,
just let me tell the story. This is a very quick aside. So of course, last night during the football game, my whole family is rooting against Michigan, therefore rooting for Washington. Of course, my wife is always one who she doesn't really care about any sports games, whatever, but she always feels bad for the other team that we're rooting for. So she'd be like, "Oh, the Steelers, like they're so nice." Or look, I like Michigan, you know, my friend's daughter went to Michigan. So I like Michigan. So then of course the rest of the family is roundly, you know, harassing her. And so at some point during that conversation, you know, Meredith likes Duke, right? Did you know that?
I did not know that, but I'm going to give her a bunch of crap next time I see her.
Yeah. It's terrible. It's terrible that she likes Duke, but I'm like Michigan football. She's like, do a lot of people not like Michigan football? I go, yeah, a lot of people hate Michigan football. You know, one, because it's just Michigan. And then two, especially now is, you know, I kept saying hashtag cheaters as we were going through the whole team. Like, it's just like Duke basketball, Mary. Like, who likes Duke basketball? It's ridiculous. And I started naming off all the names. So yeah, for us to say that we like Paolo Banchero, you know that there's
and then of course you saw for him. your boy in the box with Jeter and all them, right?
Yeah, it was terrible. Stephen A. Did you see the I almost sent it. I don't know why I didn't send it to you. Did you see the Super 70 Sports tweet about the peanut candy?
No.
Did you see this one?
No. I'm gonna look for it right now.
It was great. It said, well, I'll see if you can find it, and then you can just read it because it's hilarious. Just read it out loud when you find it.
Was it last night or
it's in reference to, it was yesterday, I think, or maybe it was today. I'll see if I can find it while you're looking for it. But it's good. It's a Stephen A. Smith reference, since Stephen A. Smith was in that box there with Jordan. Let me see if I can get it here.
He tweets a lot though now. They tweet a lot. Still, I gotta get a. Yeah, gotta find it.
Well, there's so many ads to go along with his with the tweets that it takes a little bit of time to scroll through. Fine, here it is. I got it. Ready?
Yeah.
Circus peanuts have had one hell of a run for being a product nobody really likes. It's the Stephen A. Smith of confections.
I don't even see that.
That's a good one. It's 10 hours ago.
I went 10 hours ago. I somehow missed it. So I'll be honest with you. I was looking for a picture of Stephen A. Smith. So
it was the picture of the peanuts, the circus peanuts. So yeah, that was funny. I got a kick out of that. But anyway, so yeah, I think I'd take Paolo over Chet, but it's close. And I bet if you pulled 30 GMs, I bet it'd be pretty close to 50-50.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Is there any? We're at almost an hour here. Is there what else NBA do you want to talk about tonight? Is there anything that you're dying to discuss?
Last thing I want to talk about. So we have three teams in the West who are three veteran teams that fancy themselves or fancied themselves NBA championship title contenders going into the season. The Phoenix Suns currently at 19-18, number 9 in the West. The Los Angeles Lakers 18-19, currently 10th in the West. And your Golden State Warriors 17-19, currently 12th in the West.
Why are you saying your Golden State Warriors, implying that I like come on a root for those? We got freaking Draymond back. Oh, he's here. He's cured. He went to Ernest Angley. The power of Jesus saved him, or whatever. Wait, give me a break.
He's not going to do it. Hey, Adam Silver talked him out of retiring. He was all set to retire, and then Adam Silver, in all his benevolence, talked Draymond out of it. Said, "Oh, you're such a great guy. Come back to the Warriors. The league needs you." Yeah, I've had my fill of Draymond. I can't believe that Golden State hasn't had their fill of the guy, but whatever. Okay, so here's my question: with those three teams, let's go this way. Which team of those three do you believe in the most as we can't even say a championship contender? Which one of those teams do you believe in the most to get a top 6 seed?
I'm going with the Lakers. I don't know that even any of those teams are going to get a top 6 seed. Listen, Phoenix is – they're all healthy now, right? How long is that going to last? I don't think they're healthy, are they?
I don't think they're healthy.
Simmons on Sunday night said that all three were playing. So,
well, I think that's probably changed. I don't think they're all healthy.
Here's the sign. I think it's got to be the Lakers. Just because LeBron continues to play at a ridiculous level, and once again, I don't know. Are they still losing or are they winning this game tonight? Now, like
it's tied. Right, it's tied right now. Tied. 105.
It's not even on TNT or anything tonight.
ridiculous.
It's not nothing. No NBA TV, nothing. Not seeing any of it. You're not seeing it.
Oh, I'm going to see it, Mike. I'm going to put it on my
okay.
I'll put it on here. Hold on.
My Flixer? My Flixer?
I'm not going to say anything. something I'm not going to give away my secrets.
You're not going to... No illegal streams. You're not going to share any illegal
thanks,
streams.
Thanks, Justin Matcham. Oh.
All right, thanks, man. All right, there you go.
They're going
to
come after
shout
you.
Out to Justin.
Shout out to Justin. Come through the clutch. Anyways,
nice.
I think it's got to be the Lakers, Mike. Do I feel great about it? Not really. But I think of those three teams, I mean, Draymond's probably going to punch his teammates. Okay. I got the game though. Draymond's going to punch his teammates. The Suns are going to get hurt. And that's just what's going to happen. And then I just feel most confident about Lakers. And they've also, and I know the Warriors won in 2022, but I just feel like.
Did you listen to any of the Zach Lowe yet?
No,
did you listen to Zach Lowe's latest pod?
I'm going to be honest with you, Mike. I don't have time for I'm off of Lowe. I listen to Simmons and I listen to the Mismatch. And that's what I have time for. I don't have time for anything else right now.
When you said the fluke title for the Warriors, which is what we called it, I think last week, Zach Lowe on his pod was talking about how when you look back from now, and it seems hard to believe that this Warriors team won a title in 2022 and listed off some of the things that happened and this and that. And he so badly wanted to call it a fluke. And I forget exactly how he worded it, but it was something of like, it just feels like it was a long time ago. But what he wanted to say was what I said last week. And what I'll say again is that title feels more and more like a fluke when you look at it, just in terms of how that thing went down. And don't get me wrong, Steph was incredible in that finals, but I just that title doesn't make sense. So for me, I think I agree with you that the Lakers are probably the team that, if one of these teams is going to get up into the sixth pole, I think the Lakers are it. One, because I don't think the Lakers roster is going to look exactly the same as it looks now. If LeBron hasn't already started agitating for it, he certainly is going to be agitating for it. And so I don't think their roster looks the same when we get past February. And I think they probably are the team most likely to move up. Phoenix, I just don't trust the injuries. I think one, two, all three of those
quickly
guys
just
could
fouled
go down
out,
at
Mike,
any point.
Quickly
so,
just fouled out with 3.5 minutes left.
All right. All right. Good job quickly. So maybe the Lakers pull this one out. And then I think the Warriors, to me, they have chemistry issues. They have age issues. They have the Draymond thing hanging over their head. I don't think this team writes themselves. I think that I'm not 100% confident they even make it into the top 10, to be honest with you. I really think that there's that many issues going on, all the stuff with Kuminga and Kerr. And it just feels like the team is, I don't know, imploding is probably too strong of a word, but it feels like they have chemistry issues. Wiggins has been terrible. They don't know who to play. They got young guys. They've got the old guard. It just feels like they're a team that of the three is the least likely to climb up into the top six. So I would rank them Lakers, Suns, Warriors is how I would look at that right now.
Yeah.
So anything else?
Go Browns.
Browns. Are you talking Browns or saying go Browns, beat the Texans. All right. Sounds like a plan. All right. Thanks for checking us out tonight. Really appreciate it. And to everyone out there, thanks for listening. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks. Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.